What do reality TV, John Cheever, a Pi Lab, Julia Child, fantasy football, and Burning Man have in common? They're all examples of Culturematics, and they can all be found in Grant McCracken's new book, Culturematic. McCracken's an anthropologist. He tells Anne Strainchamps what exactly he means by the word Culturematic.
Culturematic is a small machine for making meaning. It draws from culture in order to create culture with the idea that it has meme-like properties, finding a way to engage our curiosity, running against expectation.
Small machine for making culture. You had me there. I'm imagining a little thing that looks like R2-D2.
Yes, it is a little. I guess my favorite example is Bud Caddell. When Mad Men, the TV show, was in its ascendancy, he said, geez, how do I make myself a part of this enterprise? How do I use it for cultural purposes? And he appointed himself as an employee of the ad agency in question and pretended that he was working in the mailroom, watching the people from the show come and go, delivering their mail, sometimes reading their mail, and tweeting the inside story of Mad Men from an account which cost him nothing at all. So he found a way to break into this very popular cultural property and to insinuate himself into it, and in the process really open up in that classic sort of transmedia way, open up what Mad Men was and could be.
So this was just an ordinary viewer.
Exactly.
Who wanted to get even closer to the show than watching it?
Exactly. And because he's intelligent and creative, he ended up creating cultural content that made the show richer and more interesting for those of us who followed his Twitter feed.
Kind of like a version of fan fiction.
Exactly.
What makes you call this Culturematic?
I just needed a single term for what seemed to me an explosion of cultural creativity taking place in all parts of our world. And it seemed to me, despite the fact that they were noisy and often quite different, they sprang from the same cultural impulse. So I needed a single term for what I hoped to show was a single phenomenon.
Can you think of another example?
Sure. People are not very keen on reality TV. From a technical point of view, from an anthropological point of view, it's a classic sort of Culturematic where somebody sits down, in this case, Mary Ellen Bunim, sits down and says, gee, if I want to make a TV program, it costs me $2 million to make the pilot. What if I just put some kids in a house with cheap hi-8 equipment and see what happens? It's this kind of experimental quality that often defines the Culturematic, where you think of something that seems odd on the face of it, but somehow intuitively promising, as when somebody decided to take a picture of themselves every day for a year. And then they posted those in quick succession, a clip on YouTube.
Somebody did that?
Yeah. And it's absolutely arresting. It's had like 2.5 million views on YouTube. You just watch this single person with all of the changes that take place in hair and clothing and background and stuff. Another good example, I think, of a Culturematic that acts like a meme is the kid who filmed himself driving his car with the mission that he would drive the car until it ran out of gas. So all you see him doing is driving down the street with this look of kind of growing alarm as he wonders whether this is the place he's going to run out of gas. No. And he gets further and further away from home. He gets out of his car periodically to talk to people who advise him if he's running away from home, it's a bad idea. And he gets back in his car, kind of sailing off into this misadventure that can only turn out badly. I mean, it really makes no sense from any conventional cultural creative point of view, right? It wouldn't be your first idea if you were trying to make traditional media content. But for some reason, it's just completely interesting viewing and qualifies, I think, as a little exercise that engages us for reasons that are never quite clear, but pretty clearly forthcoming. I mean, I think we are engaged, we are charmed. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to see just quite why these Culturematics are so successful, but clearly they only work because they're resonating with something in our culture in a way that a kitten video does not.
There's something I'm not quite understanding here. These all seem to me like interesting kind of creative ideas. Somebody put them out there. But you're saying there's something more than that. Your concept of Culturematic is a machine for making culture. Are you saying these are all replicable ideas? I mean, what is it they have in common?
They have in common the fact that they are little experiments that begin as counterintuitive explorations of our culture that turn out, actually, in some cases, to produce entirely new cultural institutions. I think you could argue that Chez Panisse, the restaurant created by Alice Waters in Berkeley in 1973, was a culture-matic. In its moment, had a brand new idea of what food was, what farming would be, what a restaurant would feel like. And in its moment, it just seemed like this kind of goofy undertaking in the capital of goofy undertakings, Northern California. But this was the little restaurant that could, and so colonized American culture, that the artisanal approach is kind of now standard. You know, even fast food restaurants have taken an artisanal approach to food.
Is this the same thing that people also call a meme?
Yes, exactly. Memes are tiny little experiments, and often they consist of pictures of kittens with cute sayings that have been imposed upon the picture. And my argument in the book is that surely we can do better than this. On the technical side, Maker's Faire and Boing Boing and all of that stuff, some of it coming out of California where people are using the new technologies to do feverishly interesting things, that same degree of ingenuity and creativity is not always obvious on the cultural side. On the cultural side, sometimes it's stuff as uninteresting as a kitten video. So one of the arguments for Culturematic was this is a more systematic way to make culture, to make memes.
As you point out, the marketing world today is obsessed with tipping points and media viruses and runaway memes. The assumption is that it's impossible to manufacture those deliberately. They're just sort of accidents, things that, as you said, some kid in a garage does, and suddenly it takes over the internet. Can these things be kind of deliberately manufactured?
I don't think they can. I think we've been the victims of a bad metaphor. The notion of a meme comes from Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins.
That's right. And he was modeling meme on Gene, and his notion was that memes were compelling in the ways that genes were, that memes would reproduce themselves in a genetic population.
It's sort of like the idea as virus.
Exactly. And in point of fact, there's nothing about an idea as an idea. There's no imperative there for reproduction. It's only as and when it vibrates in us, but only vibrates in us when it vibrates with something in our culture.
You've come up with 9 properties that you say define a culturematic. What are some of the most important?
I think one of them is this sort of counterintuitive quality. It's in the nature of human intelligence that we lock onto signal and we ignore noise. But there's an intermediate category here. It's kind of like noisy signal or signally noise. It's stuff that we can't quite read, but we won't absolutely refuse. So there's something counterintuitive about these culturematics. They don't quite make sense. They're not so senseless that they bounce off us. They draw us in. They create engagement precisely because they tempt us in.
Like those captions on the cat photos written in supposedly fake cat language?
Yeah, see, that stuff is so fully formed. I don't think it was very interesting or creative or intelligent in the first place. You know, once you've seen a couple of them, you get the idea. And once you've seen a couple of years of them, you kind of want to strangle yourself because, like, it's enough already.
You're not a lolcats fan, huh?
I'm not. When you draw these things together and you begin to work with it, something magical happens. Something cultural is created in the process.
You use the example of Jay-Z's signature 1998 song, Hard Knock Life. That's an example of kind of splicing cultures, bringing two opposites together?
Yes, absolutely. We've seen this sort of thing happen in music a lot, where the DJ, somebody like Girl Talk, will bring together bits of music from several genres and several artists, and we have this kind of word salad or tune salad. That impulse of mixing and matching cultural elements, I think, has come to the broader culture. And in Jay-Z's case, this was a guy who had defined himself as a hustler from Brooklyn, a creature of the street, this formidable presence bristling with menace. And here he was prepared to use a Broadway show tune. Really was stunning, I think. And there's a wonderful interview floating around online in which he talks about the risk he knew he was taking. He knew he was putting all of his credibility on the line with this gesture, but he knew that he would create something. Bringing hip-hop and a Broadway show tune together was, you know, a little bit like being a nuclear scientist or, you know, it's like a social chemistry. You bring these things together. And either it's just a total failure and people can't imagine what you're doing and they just dismiss the artifact and they dismiss you immediately and entirely. It's kind of the end of your career. Or it creates something that's remarkable and powerful precisely because of its instability and it's the chemical reaction that begins to take place. So if it works, it's spectacularly successful. And, you know, he comes up as this Brooklyn hustler. And then that tune is really what sends his career into a kind of a hyper-accelerated state.
Let it bump. From standing on the corners bopping to driving some of the hottest cars New York has ever seen, for dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard, from the dope spot with the smoke block flinging the murder scene. You know me well from nightmares.
So is this what you're proposing as a kind of formula for cultural production, that you take kind of things from two different columns of wildly different origins and just combine them and you get, you know, lo and behold, Italian sushi?
Exactly. Well, we've seen this happen in the world of cuisine. The California restaurant called French Laundry is all about mixing genres in food, high and low. And so, yes, this is what a lot of our cultural creativity now is. And you can say, oh, listen, this is a simple postmodernism. But when you treat it as a more kind of systematic opportunity, well, in the book, I say, you know, listen, we can identify the roles and the actors for NCIS, and we can do 8 alternatives for each of those roles, different actors who might substitute. And you treat it as a generative device, and you keep pulling the handle. You keep generating these new combinations. Some of them are just preposterous, but some of them, you know, making Don Cheadle a replacement for the head of NCIS, suddenly something interesting happens.
This doesn't bother you? I mean, this vision of culture is just a gigantic slot machine where, you know, you pull a lever and suddenly it's Pride and Prejudice and zombies or, you know, oh, somebody did that. Or, I don't know, Little House on the Prairie after the apocalypse. I mean, this doesn't bother you? There's something so cynical about it.
Oh, do you think? Yeah. The operator of the Culturematic, as it were, still has to have exquisite taste.
So you see it more as a form of play.
Totally, as a form of play. And it's certainly not the only way to make culture, and it's not even the best way to make culture, but it is, I think, perhaps, if you'll forgive my presuming to say so, the best way to make a meme, to make some kind of appealing cultural artifact that will, you know, amuse us for a day or two and circulate from email basket to Twitter stream to Facebook posting.
Grant McCracken is the author of Culturematic. He spoke with N. Strange Champs. What do you think of McCracken's idea of a Culturematic? Do you have any favorite Culturematics of your own? You can share your thoughts through our website, ttbook.org, or you can Facebook or tweet us. There are links to our Facebook page and Twitter account on our website. It's always nice to hear from you.